And man, how the kids just vacated the premises, huh? Like, yeah, this is probably one of the last weeks where we get to use this room, and we're just going to dismiss ourselves, you know. And kids, your parents may just be dismissed, and we'll just let them take over this room because there's a crowd, huh? Congratulations. I love that. I love that. That was one of the first things that the elders of the church said to me when we were just considering whether or not we would come to this church, and they were considering whether they would, have us. And they were like, what do you see is the first thing that you want to do for this church? And I was like, man, we need kids. And they're like, yes, we need kids. And the wisdom of the elders and the group of that time said, because we're getting older, and if once we die, the church dies. If we don't have young people to carry on, this church is a dying church. So, I mean, it was just God blessed us first right out of the gate with just kids, you know. It was so fun to watch. And yeah, I mean, heck, if we all die, like the majority of the church survives, right? So give yourself a pat on the back for loving each other so well and having babies, right? You walked right in, Kim. Oh, man, it's fun. All right, I guess I'm past bantering. So we've been talking for 16 weeks about the Lord's voice. And I could keep going for weeks and weeks and weeks, I think. I'm pretty sure of it. I don't know when the Lord's going to wind the series down. But, you know, Chris and I were praying this morning, and part of his prayer was, Lord, when the series of God's voice is over, may the lifestyle of pursuing his voice not change. Right? Because we're talking about it, we're cognizant of what's right in front of us, right? But, man, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And man, we can't just change directions overnight and say, I'm not going to pursue his voice like I was before because I'm not being reminded to do so. If that's what this has been as a reminder, then whoa, we're all in trouble, right? Okay, cool. So we'll probably not do the notebook right now, just for the sake of time. Sometimes we open up our notebooks and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. I'm going to challenge you, just open up your notebook, and as we're going through the service, if the Lord shares something directly to you, write it down. If he shares something through the sermon or through something any one of you happen to say in the room, write it down, and then maybe if toward the end, if we have some time, we'll share from that place. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right, we studied how God's faithful and he's a reward to those who seek him. Hearing his voice is not really the end result. What we want is him in our life, right? He is the reward. Hey, Aislinn, another star celebrity here among us. It's Aislinn, everyone. Long time no see. No, it's great. It's great to see you out. So cool. Let's see. We talked about last week, and we're going to go into it this week, is that our lives were meant to be lived before a watching world. You know, who likes to live in a fishbowl? No? All right, well, tough, yeah. Tough. We were meant to walk out our brokenness in front of a watching world. The world doesn't need to see perfectly creased Christians, right? Because when they see that, they cannot understand how that could ever relate to their life, right? But when they see broken people walking out their brokenness, but yet not crushed by it, and pressing through it and finding victory through it and not giving up, and when they see the fruit of patience and kindness, self-control, gentleness, joy, we talked heavy on joy last week, right? When they see that fruit in the midst of their brokenness, they can start to see, wow, that's something that could plug in right into my life, like right now, and I wouldn't have to change a thing. God could just do that in my life. And suddenly that story makes sense. All right, we got some nodding people, so I can tell we're not in New England anymore. just like the Bible is a bunch of stories, right? I don't think, like Nehemiah was saying, you know, one day people are going to read about me, and all my struggles are going to bless somebody, right? Or Adam, you know, the bonehead that he was, right? Not you, Adam. Or you, yeah, no. But, like, you know, I wonder if this mistake will go down in history and become an example to the ages, right? And but that's God's story, and it's all pointing back to Jesus, or in some cases forward to Jesus, right? And that's our life. And I'd like to jump to to the slide for 2 Corinthians 3. It's probably like three or four or five slides down. Thank you. Where Paul says, your lives are a letter, and I'll come back to that, written on our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing, can you say showing? Showing the result of our ministry. Basically, the Lord is calling us all to be like this letter. That word in the Greek is epistle. Have you ever heard that word? Where have you heard that word? The epistle? It's all the books of the Bible after the book of Acts. They're all called epistles. So Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? They're all letters. They're all epistles. That's the Greek term to the world, to the church, okay? And the language he chose here is that your lives are a letter written on our hearts, written on your hearts, right? And it's to the world to show the results of the ministry that God has done in your life. Wake up, right? Think about this. God is writing a love letter to the world, and your life is it. Your life is it. Like the brokenness, the struggles, the disappointments, and then the times where he comes in, he sweeps in and he rescues, or he heals, or he shows, or he just gives you peace in that storm, or that moment where gives you the joy to press through something that would break most people. Whatever that is, like that is the letter, the love letter he's writing to the world, okay? And this is not a Cinderella story where they live happily ever after and it's like, I can't relate to that. No, this is just, oh, it's another fight. I can relate to that. Right? Oh, it's another struggle. It's another, right? Oh, I can relate to that. And the love of God just keeps sustaining us and upholding us and pulling us through. And, oh, yeah, I don't want to show the world my junk. Right? And none of us do. But the fact is, every broken story we share somehow blesses somebody else who's broken and struggling, or just gives them hope. Amen? Amen? What were you going to say? Yeah.
And I had a friend tell me, I don't know how you do it.
I don't have any internet, so.
Okay. I struggle with chronic pain.
Yeah.
And I had a friend say, I don't know how you do it, but you're always so cheerful, and it's such a testament to me, mm-hmm, how you can live with pain and still have joy. Mm-hmm. And I was able to say, not me, it's him. Mm-hmm. It's, amen, by keeping my eyes on Christ, that's what allows me to live with pain and still be joyful.
Right.
So, like you said, our lives are a letter, and we never know who we're touching. Right. You know, never thought that would make that much of a difference for somebody, but right, it did.
Amen. That's awesome. There's hope in the Lord. You know, he's not waiting for the lost to get their stuff together before he shows hope.
Amen.
Right? like, right? None of us would be here, right? And we often think in terms of like Christians, and then there's the lost. And the lost, well, they're just lost until they're not, right? But like the Lord still loves them, and his character, his nature is love and joy and peace and goodness. And we're gonna see this today, but like he's not waiting on you to make that magical prayer, Jesus come into life, my life. And he's like, finally, I could just start giving you good stuff now, right? We think like that. He doesn't think like that, right? He just wants to save us to the uttermost. Last week we talked about how Paul was told that if he were to go to Jerusalem, he was told by Jesus to go to Jerusalem and that suffering would lie ahead. Remember that? And then he was told by people in the church, don't go to Jerusalem because suffering lies ahead. And he's like, okay, I'll take the confirmation, I'll spit out the bones, I'm supposed to go to Jerusalem. right? So then he goes to Jerusalem, and we said how, sure enough, he was persecuted by the Jewish high council. There was a fight that broke out among them. In the fight, they were pulling on Paul in two different directions. The Roman captain was afraid that they were going to tear Paul in half, and so they literally came in with the soldiers and picked up Paul and carried him out and brought him back to the fortress where the guards, lived. And then, now Paul is in jail, and he had to go before the governor, Festus. And then, he was put on a ship, and he's going to go to Rome, right? And in all of that, he does not have his freedom. He could be thankful and find joy in the fact that the Lord rescued him from all that craziness, right? We said there's an assassination attempt. There's a group of Jews who even took a vow that day that they would not eat or drink until they had assassinated Paul. This sounds cooler than a Netflix, series, right? And so he could be joyful in the fact that the Lord didn't let any of that stuff happen to him, but then he could also be miserable in the fact that he's still a prisoner. But he could be joyful in the fact that Jesus told him, you will preach to kings. You will preach to the emperor of Rome, right? The leader of nations, right? So we talked, and then I'm done with the review, is like the choice we can make between choosing joy or choosing misery. Because there's a little bit of both in whatever you go through, right? Choose joy, huh? Amen. And this is the revelation that we are called to put the sozo back into salvation. Right? The sozo being the Greek word for saved, delivered, healed, protected. God wants to do well by, and he wants to make us whole. And it's that piece of our salvation that we don't do a great job of communicating to the world. We do a great job of communicating that you could be forgiven and you don't have to go to hell. Right? But the saved, delivered, and healed, we're still, the church at large is still split on that. Oh, I'm not sure that he does that anymore, right? Well, then take sozo out of saved, because Jesus came to save his people, but we can't say that anymore. He came to relocate us. Father and son moving. One day we're here, next we're there. But you know what I'm getting at? But he wants to save us to the uttermost. He wants to save, deliver, heal, do good by, show us favor, and make us whole. Progressively, every day as we lay down, right? I'm so excited. I can't tell you all the details, but in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, we've seen two healings, like really major healings, like awesome ones, and I can't share them because they're not my story right now, but I need permission, and then I will share, or they will share. But like now I believe the Lord is challenging us. He's challenging me. We've had three. You need to tell me about the third. Do I hear five? Five. But the Lord is now challenging me, and I'm going to just drop the challenge before you because, well, you're here. To believe for among those who are coming to Christ, believe for double. Among those who are being healed, believe for double. Delivered, believe for double. For those families who are coming back together, marriages that are coming together and falling in love again, believe for double. Right? Believe for double of children coming to Christ who have been separated. Yeah, I just felt like the Lord, I know this sounds so like random. It sounds so random that the Holy Spirit would do that, but he woke me up. It was 2 a.m., and I'm like, I got to get to sleep, right? And he just breathed in my ear, believe for double. And then he gave me the verse, if we're faithful in the little, we'll be made faithful in much. And you're familiar with where that story comes from. Where does it come from? Parable of the talents. What's the moral of the story of the parable of the talents is that each person was given something, right? And then what did they do? This is going to blow you away. They doubled it. No matter what they were given, whether it was 3 talents or 5 talents, right? Except for the wicked servant who didn't do anything, and he was called wicked because he didn't do anything. But the ones that were successful, that the Lord said, well done, and to who are faithful with the little, I'll make you faithful with much, they doubled what they were given. And that's that I just feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, double it. Just like reach your faith out there. And yeah, let's believe for double of people coming to Christ and people getting free and, right? And if we're wrong, we just keep getting what we get. But if we're right, hot dang, right? Right? I want him to say, you've been faithful with what you've been given. Okay, I'm putting on more. Don't you? Oh, yeah? You never share, so here. Well, it must be the Lord. The internet people need it. Would you hold it for me? Thank you.
So a lot of people know my story, and it's been said many times, or I've heard it said many times, that a mom can only be as happy as her unhappiest child. And if that's true, I'd be pretty darn miserable right now. A lot of you know the story and the history that we've had with our oldest daughter. Point being is that for, I homeschooled for 20 years, oh my goodness, you people, blah, 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 so on and so forth. I lived in misery for a good many 7 or so years. I sent all my kids back to public school. I pretty much believed that I had no basis in dealing with children whatsoever. I didn't belong dealing with them based on the struggles that my daughter had. So fast forward now almost 8 years, I am running a homeschool co-op that is exploding. I'm getting so many emails a day that I'm like trying to offload them to people because I can't handle so much. And like I just think of when you say ask for double, you know, 8 years ago I was afraid of my own children, and right. Now I'm back doing what I believe I should be doing.
Yeah, it's awesome. Very cool. It's awesome. It's awesome. I mean, what's the alternative? The alternative is to bury it in the dirt and say when Christ comes back, he can sort out the mess himself. No, it doesn't, because he's like, you could have done this and at least given me interest, right? Right? But we love the hell in the handbasket mentality for the church. We're like, come, Lord. We just want to meet you in the sweet by and by, and everything else can just fall apart for all I care.
Well, I guess the point of what I was saying, I kind of forgot, I hate talking to some people. So I guess the whole point of what I'm saying, though, is that I had to learn that joy is not situational.
Yeah.
It's something that I have to wake up and choose.
Right,
so
yes.
Regardless of what's going on, regardless of what decisions my children are making, I have to choose.
Very good. Yes, and don't worry about losing your point. I do that all the time. that's awesome. So if we could just basically jump forward, and I'll go kind of quickly through this part because I don't want to get caught up in all the details. But Acts 27 is the story of this ship that Paul is put on, and the end goal is to get to Rome, all right? And that's where he's supposed to go on trial before the Roman emperor. And we'll just pick up here on Acts 27, 8 through 9, where they had gotten kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, delayed, and were now facing winter coming quicker than they would like for it to. And the sailors didn't like to be out on the ocean during wintertime because storms, cold, and then wherever your port was at the moment where the weather became too bad, that's where you spent the winter. So it's better to plan where you'd like to stay, right? You're like, have you ever been driving along on an overnight and you're like, I'm just going to stop and see if I can find a hotel? Yep. Those are the worst, right? Yeah, like, oh, the Red Roach Inn is open. You know what I mean? Like, so we struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens near the town of Lasea. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Well, what did he say? Let's jump to the next slide. Men, I believe there's a trouble ahead if you go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well. Do you think this was his opinion? No. Why did you think he said, I believe? I believe the Holy Spirit told him, and he believed because he heard the Holy Spirit, right? And this is a great point as we talk about hearing God's voice. Paul himself demonstrated to us. He didn't just say, hey, God said there's going to be trouble. Thus saith the Lord. Right? He just moved very naturally. Hey, I believe. right? There's no need to be like pull the God card all the time. We like to lead with aces too many times often, right? I'm aware of some churches where, one specifically I love, but they do not allow their believers to say, the Lord said more than three times a year. Which means you have to choose your times, because it's far too easy to just get your emotions up and excited and be like, God just said, and maybe he didn't, right? So save it until you're sure, right? It's nice. It's kind of cool. He said, I believe that there's going to be danger even to our lives. And the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. Well, that's because it's his job, right? And since Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go to Phoenix, farther up the coast of Crete. I heard the ocean's awesome in Phoenix. And and spent the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. So perfect place to spend the winter because the surrounding countryside, the mountains, the terrain was blocking wind, right? So a lot of times that's kind of like where we like to go, is right where it's calm, not a lot of disturbance, not a lot of inconvenience. That's where we humans will generally go if given the choice, right? But that's not always where God will take us. And that's not where life will take us. And whether or not you want to argue about the theology of did God cause it or did nature cause it, well, I don't really care. I just know he's going to make all things work together for good. And then you can stew about whether you think God did it to you or nature, right? He just doesn't waste a thing, right? Now, Paul, who wants to be him in this story? Who wants to be the guy that says, while the rest of the crew is saying, we want to go on to Phoenix, the guy who says, let's stay. This place is going to be really harsh for winter, but if we can make it up to Phoenix, it's going to be mild. No, we should stay here. Everybody's like, dude, there's always got to be one. Right? All right. So now a storm, a nor'easter. Yeah, we all know what that is, right? All right, a nor'easter actually hits and throws the ship out to sea beyond their control. I'll skip the whole reference to it, but they're like, when we realized that we were not in control, we just cut the anchors and let us go before the wind, right? And if you could put, whoa, they just disappeared. There, they came back. The next day, the gale force winds continued to batter the ship. The crew began throwing cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun until all hope was gone. That feels like some situations we've been in, right? I recognize those, the day the sun didn't shine. Huh? The month didn't shine? 2020. I thought 2020 was awesome, personally. I loved it. All right. Acts 27, 21 to 26, and I have a reason for going through these scriptures. I needed to paint the landscape for you, but no one had eaten for a long time, so they're now in this storm. We find out that it's 2 weeks have gone by. They're in the storm, and the storm is so violent that nobody has the ability to eat. Like 2 weeks. And that's crazy because the only thing you can do on a ship out to sea is eat, right? I mean, when you're like, no one's going out there rowing or putting up the sails or, I mean, it's either this or eat, right? So they're just this. Yes?
Just in the Message version,
yep.
It says, with our appetite for both food and life long gone.
Yeah. Interesting, huh? Wow. So finally, Paul calls the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place. I love it. It's the grand I told you so. And not left Crete. But I think this is more important than just an I told you so, okay? He's about to give them some more God wisdom, which more than likely they're going to not listen to. And so the importance of calling back to this, I told you so, is less about, hey, I was right and you were wrong. It's more about, I'm about to lay down another fact before you and I need you to hear me. Like, think about what happened last time you didn't listen. Now I'm going to give you something new. Are you going to listen, right? Okay. You would have avoided all this damage and loss, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. Who wants to hear that, right? Thank God, right? Take courage. You'll go bankrupt, but hey, you'll still be alive, right? That's not a hallelujah message. But, you know, as Adam was saying, if you lost your appetite for life, then that's pretty good, right? So for last night, an angel of the Lord of God, the God whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, "Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar." And that's a great time to hear God's voice, is when you're 2 weeks in the middle of a storm, that no sun, and, you know, puking and can't eat and scared, and everybody's lost their appetite for food and life. And that's where God shows up and says, "Take courage, don't be afraid, you will do what I said you would do." Great, great time to reflect on the words of the Lord. Amen. It's a great opportunity to ask yourself, who will you listen to? What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island. And this is so cool. Like this story, you're like, how can shipwreck be cool? But it's going to actually take them to an island, the island of Malta, that was off course. Okay, off course from where they were going, Malta. And while they're there on the island, you know, you guys know the story of Paul. He gets bit by the snake, and all the islanders say, oh, he must have displeased the gods, and they're taking care, right? And he shakes the snake off in the fire, right, because he was putting wood on the fire. Snake falls in the fire, is dead. They expect him to swell up and die any second, and he doesn't. He just keeps on trucking, right? And now everybody is thinking, okay, so he's not, you know, in trouble with the gods. He must be a god. Right? And so the chief of the island's like, my dad's got diphtheria. You need to pray for him. Right? So he goes and prays for him, and suddenly dad gets healed. The chief's father gets healed. And so then all the people start bringing out their sick. And now Paul heals everybody on the island and introduces everybody to Jesus. Okay? The point of this story is the shipwreck brought him off his intended course so that he could go introduce a people that were not in his agenda to Christ. And to deliver the whole package, not just the logical argument, but the, oh, and here, by the way, there's the I love you healing for your dad and for you. I mean, you get a healing, you get a healing, you get it. Right? And it was Jesus loves you and you and you and you and you, and let me introduce you to the real God who made me wash up on this shore, not because he's a miserable God, because he had an agenda that was beyond my control and my ability, and there was nobody going to Malta at the time, right? Right? Like, think if you were the Maltinians, what do you call those people? Maltese. The Maltese, thank you, like the Falcon. Yes, but think about if you were one of them, and like someone just like this evangelist just washes up on your shore and just, you know, right? And he's bit by a snake, and then he doesn't die, and now he's praying for you, and like people are getting healed, and people you love, and now he's sharing the gospel. I mean, thank you, God, right? But to Paul and to all these sailors, they're like, this stinks. Right? Yes.
I know to like wait for the microphone.
Yes, it's important. Thank you. It's on.
This is why I love when God gives us a word, like he gave to Peter, because he always confirms it with scripture, mm-hmm. right? So this yes. is the washing machine that flooded the laundry room. Mm-hmm. This is the transmission that just blew out on the highway.
Yes.
Right? And what's the blessing that comes?
Yes. Amen. Amen. It's all coming together like we're listening to the same Holy Spirit, right? Awesome. So then, you know, 1 Corinthians 1, I don't have a slide for this, so you can look for it if you'd like. But, and I'll just leave it hanging. So it's actually 2 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, but verse 3. All praise to God, the Father, Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Right? This is the whole point. I mean, this is the scriptural basis that I'm trying to get to, is that the Holy Spirit is in our hearts for a reason. He's called the Comforter. Right? And if the Comforter is, that's what his job is, that's what he do, right? Just because he's now comforting you doesn't mean, my job's done. He can't help but being himself. And so you come into contact with people and he's comforted you and he just finds himself in love with the other people around you. I just want to comfort them through. I just want to share with them the thing that I've done in your life. And I just want to do it to them too. So, I mean, it's like the Lord is just like got this big old hug on you and he just, come on, right? You know what I mean? Come get some big guy, right? And it's just, that's who he is. So we can't separate that from him. Once again, it doesn't matter if we're dealing with someone who's saved or unsaved. He's still the same Holy Spirit. And so he's like, you're lost. Oh, come on. I just want to love and comfort you too. Which makes our life much more simple, doesn't it? Because now we don't have to sort out the sheep from the goats. Which is a wonderful thing, because in America, it's hard to tell the difference sometimes. It's not our job. But you know what I'm saying, right? I'm deprogramming some of you. So if some of you are like, it's true, I'm deprogramming some of you. And so some of you just be patient and let me do what I feel like the Lord is saying. Thanks, I will. Thank you. The first thing Jesus said to Paul in that mess was, or the angel said, but Jesus was speaking to the angel in this case, is do not be afraid, because Jesus felt that it was very important that Paul not join the others in their hopelessness and dread. Because once that happens, how is God going to break through at all? Right? If the people of God go to despair, where does the world go? Right? And besides that, he loves you and he doesn't want you to live in anxiety and fear. Right? I mean, plain and simple, we're no longer slaves to fear. Perfect love casts out fear. I think we take that too for granted, right? The deliverance from fear is huge, guys. Anybody been delivered from fear? Mm-hmm. Yeah. In some ways, like just speaking for myself, I would say I'm brave and fearless. And in other ways, man, I'm just a kid scared to death, right? And each one of us have that, don't we? And when we're facing the right situation, or let's call it the wrong one, we'll fall apart. And it's like, and have you been delivered from some of those areas where you used to just fall apart? Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think we should just recognize the miracle of the power of his love in our life that declared, hey, you're not going to be a slave to that any longer. There's only room for one master in this story. Right? All right, let me clear my throat. God confirmed the prior communication he had given. So remember I told you, you know, weeks prior he had told Paul, you will preach before Caesar, right? So now they're in the middle of the mess, and the angel appears to confirm the same message that he'd already given. You will stand before Caesar. I love that about the Lord. He's so simple, and he confirms. He confirms. I love that. And he doesn't get impatient. Like, have you ever, this is some of us, have you ever said, God, I need confirmation, but then you felt bad for asking? Because you felt guilty for not having faith? Oh yeah, that sounds like God, right? No. Who does that sound like? The accuser? Right? And we listen to that voice and we feel bad because, you know, the fact that we think we're asking for confirmation in his communication points to the fact that we lack faith. And really what it means is we care enough to make sure we're getting all the details right.
That's right.
And we know his nature.
Yes. Who gets upset at anyone in your family if they come back to you, you've asked them to do something, and they just say, hey, can you clarify what you meant? Do you get mad? No. You're like, hey, I'm glad you're showing interest. Yeah, right? This is what I meant. It's it. It's only when a person's like, no, I refuse. I have a video game. I have a show, right? That's when, you know, all right, come on, buddy. Right? And that's us being human. So he confirmed, and I love that about his nature, is that he's a confirmer. When you find yourself in a hard place, it isn't time to question whether or not the Lord has told you what he told you. It's time to have him confirm what he said and then stand on it. But I can think of a time, but I don't think but's going to get you through it. Right? I don't think but's going to get you through it. And I'm not even sure that we as humans have understood the fullness of what we experienced. And I don't think we're qualified to be able to say, but God didn't come through last time. There's far too many factors in our life for us to blame it all on him. For some of us, we're like, we would love to squarely put the blame on him for that thing that went wrong. And then that will affect every ability to trust him in the future. And I feel like this is a quiet and a holy moment for you to say, Holy Spirit, open the eyes of my heart to see where other factors came into play. And maybe I put myself in that situation, or maybe the spitefulness and the brokenness of another human being was perpetrated against me, or maybe something beyond my control happened, right? And it's not time to blame, it's time to just connect and say, God, have mercy. Oh, heck yeah. Correct. Yes.
I was down in San Antonio, Texas. Suicide. I lost my job, my apartment, and in 4 days, and went up to Oklahoma to kill myself, and guess who was waiting?
Only one question. Dave, what the heck were you doing in Oklahoma?
Here's this disaster in my life, moving me across the state to where I needed to be.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
He worked it for good.
So this is just where we all need to stop blaming the Lord and just be open to this idea that not everything is exactly the way you see it.
Hey,
yes.
It's not just blaming the Lord, but the flip side of that also is don't allow the enemy to say, you don't really hear the Lord.
Yeah.
That was wrong because you're not hearing the Lord.
Right.
Don't allow the enemy to take away your encouragement to keep listening.
Right. So don't allow the enemy to say you didn't hear God correctly, and so you should take away your interest in pursuing to hear his voice in the future. Right? For we know in part, we hear in part, we see in part, right? All right, so we have to stand on what the Lord has told us. That would include what we see in Scripture. And I know that Scripture can be manipulated in so many ways that two different believers can actually make the same Scripture say two different things. That's the problem of theology today. It's the problem of the theology in the Dark Ages. It's the problem of taking something out of context, right? Is that we can make it say what we want it to say. Right? If you ask me, do you believe that the Bible is the inherent word of God? Of course I do. I can make it say whatever I want. That's a joke. It's a joke, all right? I truly do believe that. it was just a little slap in the face of reality, is that, right? People abuse this beautiful thing all the time, right? And so, you know, it's hard, but at the same time, that's why we are led of the Spirit, right? Romans 8 talks about being led of the Spirit. That way we won't be fooled when we just take a piece of scripture, rip it, peel it, and make it fit, right? And then get upset when it doesn't do what we want it to do, right? And when you find yourself in a hard place, it's time to really allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into the scripture that shows you where he is and what he's doing. Romans 10:17, I know I do have that on a slide, but it says faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God, right? Now notice it doesn't just cut to the chase and say faith comes from the word of God. That would be so much more efficient, wouldn't it? But faith comes through hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the Holy Spirit in you. And the ability to hear the Holy Spirit in you comes from the word of God, right? And that is his voice, his word spoken to us. Yes? And then I love this about what Jesus said, and I just threw it up there just because it's just such a reality slap, and that is, Lord, Lord, how can you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Right? And that is a great reality slap in the middle of a hard time, because that's the time we want to go comfort ourselves with all the stuff that's not of him. Right? All right. John 10:27, Jesus promised, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Right? Other translations say, my sheep hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me. You can take it any way you want. But we hear his voice, right? And then Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And this is where the pattern of the world in Paul's story would be like, all right, first of all, we're missing out on time. We're a little delayed. We want to get on the ship. We want to head to the good harbor where we're going to have a great winter, right? I mean, it's perfectly sound wisdom. Makes lots of sense. But in this case, the wisdom of God was, don't go, there's a storm. But they didn't know that. The sailors didn't possibly know that, right? And so here's where the don't be transformed to this pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. We're actually going to ask him before we ask the other sailors, hey, what do you think? Right? Holy Spirit, what do you think? And then we get an offer from the Holy Spirit, and then we have something to then say to the people we trust in our life. I believe I hear the Holy Spirit saying this. You're not just white papering something. You know the difference between white paper and straw man? Do you? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Like, if you're going to have a meeting with somebody to get something done, you've got two ways to approach that meeting. One, I'm going to bring a blank piece of paper, and we're just going to start dreaming on paper the answer to this problem. Number two, I'm going to write some thoughts down, and then I'm going to let you tear it apart and let me know what you think. Which one gets stuff done faster? Second one, right? Anybody in business, can you go before your boss and say, let's have a meeting and no agenda, just blank paper? All you entrepreneurial people, you're like, boss? But you get what I'm saying, right? And so we go to the Holy Spirit first, and we get it all on paper, right? We believe he's saying to us, and then take it to the trusted people, your shepherds, your pastors, your brothers and sisters who you know have a history with you, and then let's go through this, and you know, and they can kind of show you what they know of in the scriptures, and how what you say either agrees or disagrees with the direction of the Holy Spirit, right? Or what you believe is the Holy Spirit, and you could be dead on, in which case they only have, yeah, you go for it, right? But we that's where this whole conforming to the pattern, which is I need a self-help book. I don't know what to do right now. Google is my Holy Spirit. Alexa, what do I do? Right? How many of us believers will actually ask him first and then air out to the rest of the world that we need to know if this is right for us? Am I talking to the wrong people? No, okay, good. I'm gonna end it, but last point I'm gonna make so that Rachel doesn't come in here and kill me. She'll walk in and say, next week I'm taking the smaller group. It was God's goodness that granted safety to everyone else on the ship. Did you notice back in that Acts scripture where the angel said, and everybody with you is going to be safe too? Like, really, if you were this all-powerful God and you didn't have love, you could just be like, Paul, you're going to be all right. Reminds me of a Braveheart line. You're going to be all right, but he tells me, all the rest of you, you're done, right? Right? But he was like, nope, everybody who's with you is going to be all right. Do you know why? His mercy, his kindness, his goodness, right? But there's something a little deeper. They're in the story now too, watching Paul go through this story. And Paul is the dude who's like teaching them a lesson, right? It's okay, everybody. You can eat. We're going to be okay, right? And then they're like watching. Why would the Lord be teaching them how to walk in freedom if he just was going to like kill them in the storm? That's kind of dumb. Right. So the whole point here is that the reason God in his mercy is keeping people in your life, and you're wondering how come this relationship just keeps sticking around in my life and it just does it, right? And I'm not talking about the narcissistic people who refuse to let go. I'm talking about like those relationships that just continue on and you just wonder why time doesn't break those things, and right? It's because the Lord is allowing them to witness what he's doing in your life so that he can teach them to bring them to the point where they can experience his goodness and his mercy and his faithfulness. You with me on that? So, 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him, right? And the following verses, what a fool I've been. From now on, you will be at war. And this is spoken to a guy named Asa, king, who depended on a plan B. And the Lord was correcting Asa, saying, you know what? You could have just asked me for help, but instead you hired an army from a nation who's going to disappoint you, and then they're going to backstab you. You're going to be at war because you didn't come to me first. I've been desiring a people who were looking for me to enter their chaos, and instead you went and found plan B first. You want war? You got it. That's sobering. I don't like that. Well, it's it's Old Testament, so, you know, do what you want with it. I just love this first part, though. His eyes are searching. You know why we pray? He's searching. I'm looking for people who are praying. I do you know what I'm getting at? Like, this isn't just, like, the phone's ringing, God's like, God here. Right? Oh, Clay, I was wondering if you were going to pick up today. I know you're such a busy God, right? Now take that image, put it to the side for a second, and imagine a God who's like, my eyes are searching active. There's one. They're about to pray. I want to be in there. I want to be in that moment. It's active. It's proactive. It's aggressive. He's searching the earth, looking for people whose hearts are committed to him. He wants to help, right?
And then he runs after them, like we say this morning.
He runs after them. Yes. It's so important, and then we're going to go into our prayer time, but it is so important that we realize the God we are coming to is not the God that we're petitioning and begging and chasing. Like, he's chasing, thank you very much, right? He's chasing, and we're just kind of accepting and verbalizing in our prayer, yes, I finally agree with you, what you want, and so I invite you to do the thing that I keep telling you no, or just dragging my feet, right? That's the reality of this thing. Okay, did I say so much you don't know what I said, or are we good? Okay, some of the prayer things that we'll be pressing into once again is finding a peace in our life that reaches other people in their trouble. Now, some of you might be a little nervous because you're like, who signs up for that? But in my opinion, and I'm not bragging, I'm just saying it like it is, that if we truly trust who God is and who he's always been for us, then we would not be afraid of troubled times versus good times, right? Because we trust him. Number two is I invite you to save, deliver, and heal me. Change the definition of salvation to those around me. That's basically saying I want to be your mannequin displaying what you want to show off to the world. So save, heal, deliver, do whatever you want in my life to make sure that the world sees. Okay? So I want testimonies, people. I want testimonies. Right? All right. Cause me to walk with such transparency that every area of my life will point others to your goodness. And this is, some of us don't want to walk out our brokenness in front of people. We just want to show the world the good stuff. And again, the Lord needs to see, I mean, to be able to show people the transparent ugliness as he shows the transparent grace, covering and healing and restoring that brokenness, right? Okay. Does anybody feel led to start that prayer? I know you're usually so eager. You want? Yeah, awesome.
Father God, so much that Daryl put on our plates to digest. God, I pray that this message would go with us through this week. God, I pray that you would even work in my life, those 3 points. God, help us to understand that everything you bring in our lives is for your honor, for your glory, to show the world who you are. God, I was reading this morning in Psalms, and David said, "You did not turn away my prayer. You did not turn away your unfailing love." God, that so ties in with today. No matter what we do, you never turn away from us. God, have us turn towards you in the good times and the bad times. God, have us turn to you with the mountain moments and the valley moments. And God, allow us at the appropriate times in our life to shine and share, because God, there's a hurting world out there that just sees the down moments. They never see the good moments among it. And then they look at a Christian and think, oh, they must have all the good moments. And they are afraid of us, God. They look and say, I could never be what they are. God, help the church not to be a place where people have to clean up before they can come in. God, don't let us look down on people. God, you don't look down on people. Your eyes are searching for those who want help. God, open our eyes to be your hands and feet to help. Let us be transparent through the ups and downs, the wrongs and the rights. God, that we might reach out and do our part to bring those to you. God, use us, we pray.
Precious Lord, you have called us to come to you, Lord, to commit our lives to you. And you've made us in our image, Lord. So we pray this day that your Spirit would fill each one of us. Lord God, that though we be in the midst of trial and tribulation, as my sister said previously, we can make a decision to choose joy. So, Lord, in the midst of our trials, teach us, Lord, to choose joy, that we may be a light to others. And, Lord, even in the midst of those times when we just don't feel like stepping out or giving time to an individual who needs to have someone to speak to, just to cry out with their hurts, Lord, that our heart would be as your heart, filled with compassion, filled with love, that we would be willing to give the gift of the message of Jesus Christ and how it changes lives, Lord. Lord, even though it may seem uncomfortable or not within our character, Lord, when you call us, and even as your word said, we need to follow, we need to say yes, Lord, and not just hear the word and not do anything. So, Lord, let this be a call to each and every one that You touch our hearts. You direct us, Lord, to reach out to others that you have chosen for us, Lord, and that we would be faithful to speak about the good news and the love of Jesus Christ.
God, I'm feeling called this morning to pray for the men in our church, Lord, specifically. God, we don't need gentle nudges, Lord. I want you to shove them to the ground and say, wake up, men, you know? We don't need, when we talk about light in the darkness, Lord, we're not talking about a flashlight in a basement. We're talking about 30 floodlights in every corner. Lord, that's what you're doing. And for the men in this room, Lord, the heads of their household and the foundation of faith for their children, God, I just am begging you to rise up in this church, Lord. And it is so hard to be them. Speaking, it's like it's easy. Working all day and being husband and being father and doing all the things. So I'm asking you, Lord, breathe fresh life. Breathe energy. Just like give them a bounce in their step at the end of the day, and they can't figure out where it came from. And they go running in their children's rooms to pray and talk about you and set that example. And then they go running to their wife. Let's talk, let's pray, let's read. Lord, we need that now more than ever. And I'm just seeing this picture of just floodlights in our houses. There's not an inch of darkness, Lord, and you want us to ask for it. So God, bring those floodlights. We want to be blinded by your light, Lord. Not a speck of darkness in our homes. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to ask for double that for the men.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would just pour your love on all of us here today. Just fill our cups, fill us up. Your love will sustain us, God, in all our struggles. We rely on you, and that love is never ending. It's never giving up. You're always there. Just thank you, God. I ask that you would help us to be transparent in our lives, that these struggles that we go through, that they would be testimonies to fellow believers, or even unbelievers. These are testimonies that are meant to lift each other up, to encourage each other, to have a deeper relationship with you, God. I ask that you just watch over all the husbands and all the men here and just help us to encourage one another in love. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Any?
Lord, I lift the ladies up to you, and I ask you to help them to be the helpmeets that their husbands need. I ask you to give us strength and courage, compassion. Help us to come alongside the men and support them as they lead us. For those ladies who are doing it on their own, I ask that you give them a double dose of strength, a double dose of courage, a double dose of you. And I ask that joy would reign in our homes, right alongside your peace, your goodness, your mercy, your faith, self-control, that all the fruit of the Holy Spirit would be manifest in our homes, and that we would be a shining example of a woman of faith, In Jesus' name I pray.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you. I got to embarrass my wife real quick. Happy birthday, buddy. Monique and I were talking about something very similar to this morning. Specifically, item number 3, walking in transparency. So, a few months ago, when I was in the hospital, you know, Monique's former life when she was in the color guard, she met hundreds of kids. And, you know, in the hospital, everybody's checking in with me. I've never met any of these people in my life. But Monique's transparency and love for people had such an impact on all of these kids that they were reaching out to me just because of how much Monique loved on them and they loved on her. And she might not have been walking with the Lord then, but the Lord was with her for sure. So if you feel like your testimony is for naught, just give it a minute, because she didn't even realize how much impact she had on these people. 25 years later though. So it's not easy, but the Lord is with us.
Yeah, amen, amen, amen. Well, God, I can't wait to see how you use our stories to reach the world around us, and just, Lord, whatever you want to do, we're just so hungry to see your kingdom advance. Lord, we're hungry for that. We're not just a little bit. Let the kingdom of God advance through our life, God, and advance through this area. And we surrender to you once again, all just afresh, because it's a joy to surrender. Yeah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So you guys are dismissed. Anyone want prayer, please come on up.